We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The USA leads England 2-1 in the semifinals of the Women's World Cup. The second half just got underway. In the first, Kristen Press took the lead with a header into the upper 90. Alex Morgan retook the lead after England equalized with another header late in that first half. If the US holds on to this 2-1 lead, they'll play the winner of tomorrow's semifinal between the Netherlands and Sweden. The final of the Women's World Cup in France will be played on Sunday. At 7, the Marlins begin a three-game set in Washington. Zach Gallen is on the mound for Miami. Tonight at 8:30, Argentina faces off versus Brazil in the semifinal of the Copa America. Mexico plays Haiti in the semifinal of the Gold Cup at 10:30. At 11, the Heat play the Kings in their second game of the California Classic in Sacramento. Both Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are expected to play after their big games last night. Over to weather now, brought to you by Hialeah Park. Today's forecast in Miami is partly cloudy with a 10% chance of rain. The high will reach 90 degrees. The low will drop to 80. And the U.S. almost concedes a goal. Big save there by the goalkeeper. Up to the minute. Breaking news here on your WQAM Sports Update. Right now, we get back to the Greg Likens show. Hochman and Crowder show with Greg Likens right here on 560 WQAM.
Did they get me away, huh?
Struggled there.
Goodness, Greg, what you got, man?
I mean,
I tried to be cool with it, and I tried to, you know, I don't know what I did there.
Well, Solana got excited because he was live doing the update, and he looks up, and he's trying to make sure everybody knows up to the second exactly what's transpiring in this USA England Women's World Cup semifinal. And he accurately described what occurred, but I think he got caught up in that was happening and he wasn't anticipating it happening. And then next thing you know, he looks at me and I'm sitting here. So, you know, it makes sense to say, hey, he's doing the show, but he misidentified. He said, hey, the Greg Likens show. I'm like, well, that sounds good to me. There's some news that we're going to break here. I don't know. I mean, yeah. So, anyway.
If I get fired, it better not be Solana that fires me. I'll tell you that much.
You don't want to hear it from him?
Hell no. Because I hit him. I won't hit Lynn.
We got some breaking news. My goodness. No, so, yeah, you got a little flustered there. But that's all right.
A little.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm the kind of guy that would say, hey, no worries, Solana. You know, next time, you know, make it better, whatever, and we move on and we forget about it. I feel like, though, if Solana messes up, you're not going to let it go.
Oh, no. We're going to get on him all day.
Right.
Yeah, I want him to get that. We're going to get that, he just played, and we're going to replay it later on.
You want to cut that up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the show, man.
And it becomes a soundbite that we can reference forever.
Yes, right? Man. It's what we, this show is what we do, like, in locker rooms, or even I've heard, like, construction workers or in the military. Like, you just, you know. You can't mess up around your boys because they're gonna mess with you. They're gonna pick on you about it.
You're busting, you know what? Right?
Yes, that's what all we do time. On this. Yes. So yeah, that's the part of the show.
It's so easy too because Crowder messes up like every second. So.
Huh?
Huh?
A Walkman. 40 years ago, a Walkman.
That was a
modernizing music.
That was that was a great cheers too. You used a Walkman. I know you did.
Well, so Walkman then evolved into a Discman, right? Because at first it was a Walkman, it was just for cassette tapes.
Yeah.
And then it turned into a Discman. So I have a confession to make, I suppose. I mean, I'm actually proud of this. I don't think it's something to mock or to look down upon, although there will be those clowns in our audience who say, oh, man, get with the times. So, you know, the people get upset about the stupidest things these days,
yes.
Right? So I don't know about you, Channing. When you travel, do you bring music with you? Like, if you go on a plane, like, if you're going to travel somewhere, how do you entertain yourself on a plane?
I bring a notepad and write stuff I think about. They make fun of me all. Hawk makes fun of me when we go to Vegas.
Right.
He has an iPad. He has a laptop. He has movies downloaded. He has his little iPad. I mean, what's it called? The little music.
Like an iPod?
iPod to play music. I bring a spiral notepad and just write down
like
thoughts.
The one you got in front of you right there.
Yeah, that's why it's so thin because I write down notes and just talk to myself.
Tear the sheets out and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how you entertain yourself on a plane. Solana, how about you? If you travel, like you went to Uruguay recently, right? Like, what do you do to entertain yourself on an airplane?
I just get really drunk and knock out.
Oh, Funky Buddha, I'm assuming. Can you get that in?
Oh,
in flight? Yeah. Okay. So what I typically do, I like to listen to music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they do not provide movies on the plane or all that stuff, I like to listen to music. But I'm kind of old school with the music. So a long time ago, well, when I was in college, I got an iPod as a gift. And I spent so much time downloading all my music and, you know, uploading onto the computer, then downloading onto the iPod and all this stuff. And then a year later, the thing broke. It didn't work anymore. And so I said, you know, I got all these CDs and I got a Discman and it works. And so to this day, if I travel, I'll bring a little container of CDs and I'll bust out my Discman. And that's what I'll listen to.
No.
Oh, I'm telling you. And I get all these strange looks, especially if there's younger people around me. They're looking at me like, whoa. Because they got all their music on their phone, right?
Yeah.
They don't even really have iPods anymore. They just have everything on your cell phone. And so, yeah, I'm like, okay, wait, that song was good. Now let me reach back into my bag, and then I pull out the little container of CDs, and I'm shuffling through. What do I want to listen to? A little Nirvana, a little Green Day, you know, maybe a little Kanye, whatever it is. And that's what I'll do. And then I'll
And you change your CDs?
Changing CDs mid-flight. Yeah, that's how I still roll that way.
I do. I think there's people that have never seen a CD. Like, Solana, have you seen a Discman?
Yeah.
Really?
Cool. I mean, come on. I'm 25. Like, that was still popular. Even CDs in a car. Most cars still have CD players.
Oh, no. CD player. The car CD player. But I'm talking about carrying a Discman around.
Yeah.
So Greg's not on the island here, because this is crazy to me.
Well, like, in... say 2018, 2019, have you seen somebody walking around or in a public place with a Discman?
No, probably not since like 2013.
So it's been 6 years in your estimation?
At least 6 years, maybe even earlier, because iPods were huge. Everybody had an iPhone by like 2012. Never mind, maybe like 2007.
I was going to say, because I had a Discman when I first got to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started making fun of me so bad on the plane. This is 05, 06.
This is 05, yeah.
And that's when it was the big-ass iPad with the little...
The iPod
with the little...
It was like a little circular...
Yeah, and you had to move your thumb around.
Yeah, it was almost like one of those old-school phones that you're...
Yeah, and you had... And it make that little funny noise. And so everybody had one of those, and I had my little Discman they used to make. But this is 06, Greg. You talking about 2019? You still got a Discman?
I got a Discman, and so I had a Discman for years. This great Discman. It held up, and finally, like last year, it conked out. Mm. And so then I went to Best Buy or Walmart, one of those places, and I got a new one, and it was like $14. You know, back in the day, you'd buy it, it'd be like $100. It'd be like an investment. You're like, hey, I got to wait till Christmas or something to ask for this gift. You know, like we couldn't just go out and buy a Discman because this is an expensive piece of equipment. You know, like I got to, you know, figure out with my mom, my parents, like, okay, you know, can I ask for this kind of thing? Now I'm like, I go into the store and it was like on sale for like $12, $13, $14, something like that.
Has your fiance seen this?
Yeah, she shakes her head.
Okay, I was gonna say,
she's like, "What is wrong with you?"
Because that you know, I'm a little old school too.
I thought you may relate to this, but even this, you're not going with.
No, but I know my wife is the same way too. So that's why I was asking about your fiance, because the women usually they modernize you.
Yes,
like, hey, tighten up. Like you're embarrassed. You're not. You don't care about embarrassing yourself,
right?
But now you're embarrassing y'all.
But I have noticed people looking at me. Like, I get these, like, sideways looks. Like, some people are more obvious about it than others. Some people are discreet about it. Other people just start looking, right? They're staring at me like, hey, what are you doing?
I'm going to break it to you, Greg. They're not impressed.
No. I get that. But I'm also just like, hey, I want to listen to music. I literally do not have a single song on this phone. I have an iPhone, but there's no songs on it. So, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I can't use my, like, YouTube app or, you know, my Pandora app or anything like that to access while you're in the air. Because, you know, I don't want to pay for the Wi-Fi, you know, if it's not free. So at that point, guess what? You know, get my little...
Pull out the Discman.
Catalog of CDs. Pull out the Discman. And, you know, after I'm done, if it's just a few songs I want to listen to, some albums, I'll listen to the entire thing. But otherwise, then I switch and I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to listen to now? Maybe we'll go old school. Fugees, The Score, right?
I was just gonna ask you that, where like the names you said, Green Day and Nirvana and Kanye, I would assume it's Kanye College, the dropout.
Back when I was in college and stuff. Yeah.
Do you still buy CDs to keep up? Because
from time to time.
Bro, you're buying CDs.
Still buy CDs.
Where do they have CDs?
Still buy CDs. Amazon.
Online.
You can buy them online. You can still go to Best Buy and Walmart, Target. They still have CDs.
And like the new,
whatever's
the new Jay-Z new, like, album
the new
will
Taylor
be on
Taylor Swift CD.
Will be on CD.
Yeah,
you getting T-Swizzle albums?
No, I'm just
oh,
saying.
Oh, you're just using that as an example.
Yeah, as an example.
Oh, I was really worried about you.
Yeah.
Actually, a Discman made me lose one of my high. Well, not lose. I ended up dumping her. Remember when you had the tape players in the car and you had an adapter? You had the tape had the little string, the little wire coming off of it.
And you connected to the Discman.
And you put the Discman kind of under the seat because you don't want it just sitting there looking cool. And her name was, I think it was Jeanette something. And she sat and I had my Discman sitting on the passenger seat. She wasn't a little girl. I like some people. I like women with a little consistency to them. I don't like no little bean poles, Greg. I like something with some meat on their bones.
Okay.
Not too much meat. Mediocre meat. And she jumps in the car, doesn't even look in the seat, and she sits right on my Discman and cracks the whole top and breaks the CD inside. That was the end of our relationship. We went out, we finished the date that night, never call again.
So she crushed your Discman?
Crushed everything and my CD. How can I build a life with somebody that irresponsible, not even look in the seat before you sit down?
Oh, man.
Jeanette could have been my wife if she had some sense to her to look in the seat and not mess up my Discman.
She must have had quite a bit of meat.
I like old rump, Greg.
Not just on the grill, huh?
Like old rump.
So you're saying that this is like a loser move on my part to be still carrying around this man.
You would have a hard time talking to a woman with a Discman on your hip.
You think so? I mean, I don't have to worry about that anymore, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I can't judge anybody because you know I wear cargo shorts and stuff. You know, like I'm not a very stylish dude, but I think the disc man is kind of
okay.
Yeah, you could have just stopped that. You're not a very stylish dude.
Look at you. You want to get hit today?
What do you need so many pockets for?
To put items in.
I don't get it.
I got items.
It's actually quite practical. Yeah.
Items.
Right.
Yeah, man. You got a cell phone. You got a wallet. You got keys. You got sunflower seeds. You got a dip can. Where can I put all that stuff?
We're getting a bunch of texts about Discman, good and bad. So later on, we'll read some of those and see, get a sampling of that. But when we come back, you ready to talk some NBA?
Yes.
Jerry Brewer does an excellent job as a columnist for the Washington Post. He is going to join us next. We're going to talk to him about NBA free agency and more. Stay tuned here on QAM. Radio.com. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Channing Crowder. Hawk off today. Got Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on here on this Tuesday. So much going on in the world of NBA free agency. And somebody who's been covering all of it. And, of course, want to get the reaction from an area in which you got some rumors surrounding the Miami Heat, the Washington Wizards, and everything going on. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That's where we welcome Jerry Brewer, sports columnist for the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry Brewer. Jerry, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm wonderful. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, and as you can imagine, South Florida very excited that Pat Riley's been able to make some major changes to the roster. Hassan Whiteside going to Portland. Josh Richardson is going to Philadelphia, and most importantly, Jimmy Butler lands with the Heat. What has been your reaction to that signing for Miami?
Well, Riley basically moved mountains to be able to create the opportunity for Jimmy Butler to come. And so that they needed a big time star. And now they have one of the top 15 or 20 players in the league. And also someone who fits their organization to a T with how competitive he is, defensive minded, but yet also skilled. So I think that considering where the Heat have been, just kind of stuck in place, I think that was a significant move. However, the concern is, what are they going to do either through player development or through another bold move to put another star with Jimmy Butler? Then they're really in business.
And you just brought it up where I was going to ask you, we act like this fit is perfect because we hear the story about, I remember the Minnesota story where Jimmy went with the backups and ended up whooping the starters. And then there's another story where Jimmy cussed out an assistant coach because he wasn't pushing Jimmy hard enough. So you're into Jimmy Butler's perfect for the Heat culture, as we call it.
Yes, he absolutely is. And can you imagine the conversations he and Riley or Spoelstra are going to have, you know, especially when he goes to Pat with a grievance. They can get after each other, and it can be a good thing. And I think there are a lot of coaches that are too soft. A lot of team presidents, GMs, that just want the rose colored glasses to be put on every time you talk to them. But I think that this is the right situation. I know for a fact that Pat Riley can handle this type of personality, but the rest of the team has to get better. I mean, right now with him, they're solid, and the potential for them to overachieve and maybe be, you know, middle of the pack in the playoffs in the East, the 4-5 type seed, that's pretty good. But you don't want to have a guy like him in his prime and not make a push for something better. And so you just keep wondering, what's the next move? Do they have to wait a year to do it? Or is it something that he's going to be able to pull off this summer? Or is it going to be even more complicated than that?
Jerry Brewer, sports columnist from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. With that in mind, Jerry, there have been some rumors out there about the Heat's pursuit of Bradley Beal. From what you know, what is the Wizards' interest in moving him potentially?
Their interest is minimal in moving him. I think you'd have to knock their socks off with a move, with a deal. And I just don't see the Heat having the pieces and the resources to do something like that. It's worth a call because they're in such a state of flux. Don't have a permanent general manager in place, but Bradley Beal and the interim GM have a great relationship. He has a great relationship with the owner, Ted Leonsis, and they're of the opinion that why would we get rid of Bradley at 26 years old when we would try to take all these drafted assets or young players or whatever and try to create another Bradley Beal. They feel like that's going backwards. However, if you know the Wizards situation, you've got Bradley Beal on a max who's eligible to be a guy who makes $30-plus million per year on his next extension, maybe even more than that if he makes the All-NBA team and he's Supermax eligible. And then they've got John Wall, who has a torn Achilles on a Supermax contract that's just about to start. So $42.5 million average per year for John Wall. He's not going to play most of this season. And then you could potentially say, you know, it could be if Bradley Beal makes an All-NBA team next year, you're going to be in the same boat with him. Although they're looking to maybe re-sign him to like a three-year, $110, $111 million contract this summer. So right now, Bradley does not want to play copycat. He doesn't want to be one of these stars who's obsessed with going elsewhere. However, you just never know if you can put together the right kind of package. But for the Heat to do something that would get the Wizards' attention, they would have to bring in a third team, if not a fourth team.
Yeah, interesting insight there, to be sure. As you know how the rumor mill is. First of all, you know, the Heat make a couple moves, and all of a sudden, what's next? What's next, as you've already referenced? And so it's been interesting to hear and great to get your perspective on the Wizards side of things here. Jerry Brewer joining us, sports columnist in the Washington Post. Jerry, also wanted to ask you about your recent column. You write the title, "The Warriors with Kevin Durant were unfair, sure, but I'll miss them." And you acknowledge in the column that you're probably in the minority. Most people are happy they're breaking up to a certain degree. But what exactly will you miss about the Golden State Warriors?
I like their brand of basketball. I'm not sure that you will ever see two high-volume, high-scoring players fit together as well as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant did. Their willingness. It wasn't just about, oh, you sacrifice. A lot of it was, okay, well, I'll tone down my game some here. You tone down your game some there, and we'll be able to just go back and forth. Sometimes it's my turn. Sometimes it's yours. I thought the Warriors were at their absolute best when Steph Curry would go off, and then KD would kind of flow in. And he's someone who can normally, when a player's getting 50, everybody else is watching them. Kevin's like, well, I can get mine too. And I can just kind of flow with you and vibe with you. I don't think one of the reasons I wrote that column is I don't think they were appreciated for how good they were for basketball, because everyone was so focused on how unfair it was that they were able to put together a team with four all-stars. But mind you, three of those guys were guys that they drafted, and they just did a good job of managing the cap, and then they benefited from the salary cap surge in 2016. But I think people look at this super team era, and everyone in Miami can relate to this as well. They look at the Heat, kind of like the Warriors, and they think that those two championships that they won in 4 years was about all about talent. And it wasn't all about talent. And I think you have to respect these are stars that didn't just get together. They figured out a way for it to work. And remember with Miami after that first year and D-Wade telling LeBron, go out and go be the best player. You know, stop submitting yourself to me. I will figure it out, which was an incredible move for someone to make who, is the most popular or one of the most popular, athletes in South Florida of all time, to kind of submit himself for the team. And the way Chris Bosh changed his game, you just look back at them and you're like, oh, they had three Hall of Famers. Three guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame soon. Oh, that's why they won. There's so much more to it in the dynamics of a team. And I think we need to give those guys credit and stop bellyaching that they were able to figure out a way to manipulate the system to get together. That their savvy and their willingness to do this is something that I think should be appreciated instead of lamented. And yeah, everybody's happy now that more teams have a chance, and that's great. But I think that the league has been elevated by the fact that they had to chase such a dominant team. And it goes back to the old, I have a family full of people who love to run track. And it was always, if you want to run faster, you better run against people who are faster than you. And it was kind of the same concept in the NBA. The fact that we had so much greatness and so much dominance, you had to come try to catch up to it. And I think now the league, 3 years later, is in a much better place because they've seen that standard of basketball.
And to your point with, like, we were down here with Miami when the Big Three came together, and everybody hated Miami for that. And then even when KD went to team up with Klay and Steph and Draymond, everybody hated him and criticized him. Is it changing? Because I don't see the criticism when the reports of Kawhi going to L.A., I don't see those same criticisms coming up. Like you just said, is it becoming the norm and people aren't going to criticize Kawhi if he joins AD and LeBron in L.A.?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more normal. Oh, but the Laker hatred would come out huge when Kawhi does this. Like, if Kawhi makes this decision, everyone will come out of the woodworks. And in some ways, their big three might be the biggest three that we've ever seen, and that's even going back to Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Will Chamberlain, just from the fact that LeBron has extended his prime, and Anthony Davis is at the start of his prime, and Kawhi Leonard is right at the start of his prime as well. And you could argue that those are the three of the top four or five players in the league. And we may have never seen anything like this. I mean, you have to go back and you have to really dissect and revisit some things. But there is a good chance that is unprecedented. And so people will be upset by that if it happens. But I say, run your teams better. And I also say, those Lakers, if they create this situation, they're going to be so thin that they're going to be ripe for the picking early on. A la the Heat when they lost to Dallas. And that Heat team had much more around it, their big three, than the Lakers will next year. I mean, I'm thinking about Mario Chalmers was not a guy on a minimum contract. He was someone they had drafted. They traded Michael Beasley in order to create the cap space to bring in Mike Miller, a shooter, and Udonis Haslam, obviously, was a holdover. So they had a little more than what the Lakers. I mean, if the Lakers do this, it's going to be those three, Kyle Kuzma, and a bunch of minimum guys, hoping that guys like Rajon Rondo and Andre Iguodala, if he gets bought out and Memphis decide to join. But I just they're going to be so limited, and especially when they go into the market and try to find two point guards. We all know that LeBron is the point guard of any team that he plays on, but you still need somebody who's going to be able to bring the ball up the court a little, make open shots, and defend. And I think the NBA might be a little too balanced for the Lakers to just dominate from the start like most people will expect.
Yeah, really good points. Jerry Brewer, sports columnist from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. With that being said, and with what you described with the Warriors situation, that team breaking up, but what do you make of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving teaming up in Brooklyn and not going to the New York Knicks?
Well, that shows how much the New York Knicks have fallen. The aura of the Knicks doesn't exist to these young players because it's been so long since they've been relevant for a lengthy period. Everyone loves to go play in Madison Square Garden, but that doesn't mean that they want to go play for a franchise that's owned by one of the worst owners in sports. I think it should be a wake-up call to the Knicks, the team in your own backyard that has really struggled to gain its footing since they moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn, made a horrible trade with the Celtics that sacrificed 4 or 5 years of what could have been a much faster rebuilding. They were forced to have a rebuilding mentality, and the Knicks always change their minds in the middle of doing things. And they decide, oh, well, we're rebuilding, but we could create this cap space in 2010 to go out and get LeBron. LeBron goes to Miami. Oh, we could create it in 2016 to go get these guys. Those guys don't come. And then they tried to do the same thing again. Guess what? Guys aren't coming. You need to rebuild your brand the right way. People always used to tell me, I used to have these arguments with Doc Rivers when he was the coach of the Orlando Magic. He said, you cannot rebuild in New York. And I would always say, Doc, they've been unintentionally rebuilding forever. They need to go ahead and rebuild this thing. And now I think they're at that place where they should be sufficiently humbled and just go on and build this thing around RJ Barrett. He can be a really significant player in the NBA. Be patient and go after your max guys when you have a situation like the Nets, or even like the L.A. Clippers, where you've got a team, the foundation of a team that's already a playoff team, and you can appeal to these guys. Because one thing about these stars, they are not stupid. You know, they are not just going to fall for the okey-doke, and they're not going to fall for the glitz and the glamour of your recruiting pitch. You have to bring something of substance to the table, because most of them are thinking about their legacy, and they're thinking about rings. And right now, you know, the world has never been a smaller place with people being able to access and get from place to place so quickly. So they're not in love with just the big markets. The big markets have to come with something, and the Knicks need to put something more on the table before they expect to get these marquee players.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Jerry, one last question. This is off the beaten path, but we were talking about it before you came on. Did you at some point in your life own a Discman to listen to CDs?
Yes, I did.
When was the last time you'd say that you used that?
10, 15 years ago. I think the last time I moved, I found one and just laughed at myself. Like, man, you've become a pack rat.
But let him know, Greg.
It might even be like 20 years ago, for real.
20 years, so 1999 or thereabouts? Wow. Well, I was telling the story, Jerry, that I still have a Discman, and if I go on a flight, I'll bring a small group of CDs, and I'll use my Discman because I don't have any songs on my iPhone. I had an iPod a long time ago, and it broke after a year after I'd uploaded a bunch of music to it. And I was like, you know what? The Discman hasn't failed me. I know it's 2019, but I'm still going strong with that thing.
If you did that and I was seated next to you, I'd ask if there are any empty seats elsewhere.
That's what I told him, Jerry.
Like, this dude is just too weird.
I told him, better be happy he got a woman already, because he ain't going to get no date with no damn disc man.
Hey, that's the truth. And, looking back, You know, there probably should have been a stipulation before you got a date. That question should have been asked.
Oh, man. So this is a requirement now?
Yeah. Got to, man.
Just like you had your incident with your disc man back in the day, if the girl's a little too big?
Yeah, man. I had a girl that sat on my disc man, Jerry, and I had to get rid of her. I said, you're too irresponsible. You sat on my disc man and broke my disc man and my CD. I had to dump her.
Is that a nice way of saying that you weigh too much?
This is the thing I'm trying to explain
to
Greg.
That was my hunch.
I leave some meat on the bones, Jerry. I can't have no little bean pole. I can't have no woman 94 pounds. I just need some, you know, I'm 260 pounds. I need a little something to my woman.
Ah, well, on that note, Jerry, we appreciate you joining the show. Great insight and everything, and now I've got to rethink my priorities with the disc man, but that's fine. That's a me problem. Jerry, thank you so much. We encourage everybody to read your work for the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry Brewer. Thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
All right, anytime.
All right, there he is. Jerry Brewer joining us as wow, yeah, I guess that's now going to be a prerequisite before you go on a date with somebody. Like, you know, if you have, you know, you got all these different ways you can meet women or men, depending on what you're interested in. If you're on a dating website or on one of these apps kind of thing, you should just have on there whether you currently use a disc man or not. Is that one of these things?
Greg, if I'm wrong, let me know. But this is an educated guess. For you to have a disc man, you were never on Tinder or anything like that.
No, I was not.
It just doesn't seem like Tinder and disc man go hand in hand. I'm not going to lie to you. They seem like opposites.
Seems more like a farmers.com kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh. Or maybe just go to the mall and walk around and try to meet somebody. Mm. That's old school, baby.
Hey, so we have some controversy brewing here.
What?
So in the middle of Jerry's interview, we thought England had scored a goal. But then it was reviewed, and they determined there was an offsides. So they called the goal back. So then it was still 2-1 USA. But they just now had an incident in the box, which appeared to be clean. They go to the VAR and determine that they have now given a penalty kick to England. We're in the 83rd minute. It's 2-1 USA, and now England is going to step to the penalty spot. It's going to be up to Alyssa Nair to try to stop this penalty and not allow England to equalize. I did not see the replay too much because we were kind of focused on this, Solana. What do you make of the call?
I mean, I watched the replay a couple times. Man, that's a tough, like, that was a tough call. She barely touches the offensive player who appeared to have whiffed more than anything. Yeah. Tough call there.
Because I saw the play when it happened. And
whoa! Let's go!
He's ahead of us. We can't even see it. What? I hate this.
USA.
Oh, USA. Stop. They stopped the penalty. They stopped. USA. Can we play the music still? a stop penalty?
That's woo! A tough one.
I mean, you don't see that every day. That was a weak call. They called a penalty on that?
Unbelievable.
What do they say? Ball don't lie?
Ball don't lie.
Yeah, ball don't lie. Listen there with the stone.
Look at Witty. Witty's here.
Oh, my gosh. What a stop on the goal line.
Oh, y'all got y'all U.S. shirts on, huh?
Yeah, what are you doing, man? You had your Panthers shirt on yesterday.
I know, man. I don't have one of those.
Were you just saving your one USA shirt for 4th of July? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. What do they call it? A kilt?
A kit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kilt is something completely different.
It is?
Yeah, over in Scotland, you wear a kilt.
Oh, the
like
dress?
A skirt? Yeah, that's a kilt.
Oh, off Braveheart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you haven't wear nothing underneath. I wear one now. I like to be free. For real. I wear a kilt.
Please, yeah, don't wear that.
Me too.
Don't wear that to the studio.
Your piece is falling out.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're sitting down the whole time. What's the point? I mean,
air.
Do you have any bagpipes?
A little air condition. I got a big pipe.
Yeah, your bagpipe will be hanging out if you wear that. All right. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll be providing updates on the tail end of this USA-England match. Stay tuned here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Big thanks to Jerry Brewer for joining us last segment for the Washington Post. Greg Likens here alongside Shani Crowder on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk, of course, on vacation. Alex Solano with us as well. So it's getting down to the wire here. As we told you just before we went to break, there was a huge save of a penalty kick by American goaltender, goalkeeper, Alyssa Nair, as she made the stop on a penalty kick that was given after a review that was a bit questionable. But either way, they come up with a big save. A couple of goals now for England, or potential goals, have come off the board. One they gave initially, but then they went and reviewed it, and there was offsides. And then the penalty kick, Channing, in a game like this, such a huge moment, you expect and anticipate that you're going to convert that penalty kick. We should have a 2-2 game in England's minds. They got it. They're going to be kicking themselves after this because you don't convert that. Huge stop by the U.S. goalkeeper, but big-time missed opportunity for England here as we're into the second minute. We're actually 92-plus minutes into this match. They've got 7 minutes of stoppage time they put on the clock, so we still have like 5 minutes left in this one. But, Channing, I know you're not into soccer and everything. Do you even get a little excited when we're talking about Women's World Cup in the semifinals?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get excited.
You get behind the team, right?
I will watch lacrosse if it's like the number one and number two team playing. If I know this is the top level of their game, mm-hmm. I love it because I like watching, you know, watching MLS. I'll never. Solana tries to sell us on it all the time. I know that it's not the top level of soccer in the world, but yeah. I'll watch this. This is the top stuff. And it's interesting, too. I learned that when a man gets a red card, they just lose a player for the whole game.
Yes, so there has been a player from England who was sent off with a red card. That's what they it's not an ejection. They say they're sent off.
Yeah. That's pleasant.
Yeah, they're sent off the field. You know,
is soccer considered like a tennis and golf or gentleman, gentle lady sports? Is soccer that way?
I mean, some of the terminologies seem that way, but not really. I mean, you got a bunch of men or women who, you know, at the end of these games, they get barely touched and they're rolling around on the ground and pretending they're faking their injuries and stuff. So.
No, but soccer historically has been viewed as like, you know, the way football and basketball are kind of viewed as like urban sports, inner city kids trying to make it out. It's what soccer is, maybe not in the United States because playing soccer in the U.S. is actually really expensive. Yeah. But for the rest of the world, all you need is a ball. Right? Like, that's the way it's viewed around the world.
They play anywhere.
Right. Anybody, yeah. Ronaldinho, one of the most famous players of all time, like, famously grew up playing barefoot on rocks because that's just where he grew up playing. Like, so many footballers have stories like that.
Like, Pele, too.
Right, exactly.
They had a show. I watched a show about Pele one time. Yeah, and then movie. Even that, where I don't love soccer, but I saw Pele, and I know, like, I've heard the names when I was a kid. Man, I'll watch this damn show, and I end up watching it.
There you go. Yeah, so there's some appreciation there.
And then the support of your country and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, the patriotism gets involved.
Yes, I'll USA, and we play the song and all that all day long.
That's the thing that I would say to everybody. I made this argument during the Women's World Cup because sometimes I'll bring it up, and people are like, hey, don't talk about this. We don't care. We don't like soccer. You know, this isn't everybody. Certain people don't like soccer, or they don't like women's sports, right? And I say, well, okay, so why is it then when the Olympics roll around, it like all these obscure sports pop up, and all of a sudden we're like, yeah, the U.S. men's curling team, they're in contention for a gold. I'm going to watch that because, you know, to your point, like if it's a championship type moment, like we get involved. And so like the U.S. women, like I get it. If you don't like soccer, you don't usually like women's sports, that's fine. But it's only once every 4 years. It's not like we're telling you every weekend you got to watch women's soccer. It's like, hey, enjoy this while it's here, the biggest moment of the sport. It's on an international stage. Have some patriotism. Appreciate the top-level athletes that they are, and that's it, right? Like, you know, for a few weeks, you can support a women's sport and you can support soccer.
And actually, too, and we talked about this, I think, last week, where the whole, like, equal pay thing, where the WNBA makes nowhere close to the money the NBA makes, and I believe that you get paid for your performance. So WNBA should not be paid like the NBA players, and I don't care what Brittany Griner and all of them say. I totally disagree. But the women's, and I saw it now because they were speaking about it a lot on ESPN, the women's soccer has just the biggest following, the national team, as the men's soccer. And they make the same money. They do the same TV numbers. So I believe the women's soccer team should be paid like the men because of the fact that they pull the same numbers and they pull the same amount of tickets. So I think, yes, this is a different – The national teams are different than the NBA, WNBA, and women's sports in different levels. These are equal.
I'm with you. It should be equal. Heck, you could argue they should make more money than the men because of their consistent winning. And because, you're right, the ratings are always good. And Nike just announced that via their website, Nike.com, that I guess it's the home jerseys, not the red ones they're wearing today, but the white jerseys that they've been wearing during this World Cup is the highest selling jersey, men's or women's, they've ever had on Nike.com. And it's a women's jersey.
And they should be compensated.
They should.
100%.
But the crazy thing about it is, you know, only the Alex Morgans, the Carly Lloyds, the Megan Rapinos, you know, there's a few others, you know, Julie Ertz to a certain degree, but only some of the bigger name players on the U.S. team have the outlet to make money off the field. Otherwise, they're all playing professional soccer. There's the NWSL, who they play in the United States. There's leagues overseas as well, but they're not making a lot of money from that. But Alex Morgan's making a lot of money off the field because she's one of the star players and she's photogenic and all of that. But you got some of these players who work their butts off to be on the U.S. women's national team that, you know, we'll talk about once every 4 years, and otherwise we don't hear from them.
Do they have other jobs? Like those lower-end players you're speaking of. Yeah, like, can they make enough money to support themselves, or are they training their tails off for a month a year? A month every 4 years.
It's a really good question. I mean, they're playing professional soccer, but they're not being paid a lot of money. Hey, Solano, strike up the music, man. It has gone final.
She's crying.
The arrogant Americans emerge on top of England. We're going to talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour, but it is a final 2-1. Team USA defeats England, and the U.S. women are headed to the final of the 2019 Women's World Cup. Congratulations to all involved, Kristen Press, Alex Morgan, responsible for the two goals. And as mentioned earlier, you've got a Team USA team that now with the win becomes the first team in Women's World Cup history to reach three consecutive finals. They also now a couple of goals away from setting the tournament record for most goals in a single World Cup. And the U.S. has now won 12 consecutive matches and extended its unbeaten streak to 14 this year in all competitions. So a phenomenal, phenomenal run will now end up in they're going to stay in Lyon where they play the final. They're going to play either Sweden or the Netherlands. But congratulations to the U.S. women's national team as they take down a really, really good England team. I mean, this was a tough battle, and England put the pressure on as his second half rolled on. But Channing, you're fired up, I can tell. You may not be wearing your red, white, and blue, but you're all anxious and excited for this final coming up this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah. See people crying about a win. Now the emotion brings the emotion out of me.
Yeah. Ellen White is crying in defeat as well, so a range of emotions and tears for various reasons. Megan Rapinoe is out there celebrating with her teammates. She we think, has an injury, and that's why she didn't play, but it's been they've been hush-hush about it. We haven't heard any real details as to why she didn't take part in the action, but Team USA emerges victorious regardless. How about this, Channing? Let's take a timeout. We'll come back in the 5 o'clock hour. I do want to discuss this notion of the arrogant Americans, because that has been the talking point, the storyline for a lot of the international press in anticipation of this match. We'll come back, discuss that next year on QAM.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.